Let's open the scriptures again now to Exodus chapter 29, 31 to 46. This is part of a section in which God is giving instructions for the preparation of priests for their holy responsibilities. Take the ram for the ordination and cook the meat in a sacred place. At the entrance to the tent of meeting, Aaron and his sons are to eat the meat of the ram, and the bread that is in the basket. They are to eat these offerings by which atonement was made for their ordination and consecration. But no one else may eat them because they are sacred. And if any of the meat of the ordination ram or any bread is left over till morning, burn it up. It must not be eaten because it is sacred. Do for Aaron and his sons everything I have commanded you, taking 7 days to ordain them. Sacrifice a bull each day as a sin offering to make atonement. Purify the altar by making atonement for it and anoint it to consecrate it. For 7 days, make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar will be most holy, and whatever touches it will be holy. This is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day: 2 lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. With the first lamb, offer 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil from pressed olives and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, thank you for how you come to meet us. You've met us most of all through Jesus Christ. He is your word to us. So in response to your word now, help us to offer ourselves, especially now, offer our attentiveness and our openness to you and what you're saying to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a pastor named Eric Holstrand, and he was preaching one Sunday. During the course of his sermon, an elderly woman in the congregation, her name was Mary, she fainted and hit her head on a pew there in the sanctuary. There was an EMT in the congregation who immediately responded and called an ambulance. So as they strapped her to a stretcher and got ready to head out the door, Mary started to regain consciousness. And she called for her daughter to come over to her closer. Folks were beginning to wonder, as she regained strength, in order to try to say to her daughter some final words or offer her last words to her. And so as the daughter leaned over closer to Mary's mouth, Mary whispered to her, "My offering is in my purse." (Laughter) No worship service is complete without the offering, right? And when you stepped through the sanctuary doors last Sunday, the last thing that many of you saw before you arrived to shake my hand was Jerry Coombs standing there with an offering plate, ready to receive gifts to our monthly offering for our benevolence fund. So here we are back together again today, offering plates and all. We saw a missions video earlier reminding us that it's time to consider your annual gift to the state missions offering and our partnership with other churches in Maryland and Delaware. That's one of the ways that we participate in our denomination's work at the state level. And lo and behold, as we were getting ready to put those materials in your bulletin for today, packet arrived in the mail urging us to start getting ready for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the emphasis that comes up in December too. We're good at passing the plate, aren't we? In fact, that announcement is basically there in the bulletin every week, reminding you that there are offering envelopes on the table in the vestibule in there available for you. The racks on the back of the pew in front of you, they contain three very basic worship items: Bibles, hymnals, offering envelopes there before you. It seems like we're always in the offering business in the life of the church. And in one respect, that's nothing new. We see it in the life of God's people, Israel, in our scripture passage today from Exodus. This is part of Israel's sacrificial system in action, and the rules and regulations that accompany it can often seem very tedious and elaborate and maybe confusing to us, but they were essential, I think, to the way that Israel understood the character of God and the purpose of God and the work of God. The bottom line was that God is holy. God is holy. In other words, God is transcendent and beyond us, which partly means that God isn't your or my divine mascot or our heavenly buddy, or as others have sometimes put it, your cosmic bellhop who's there to be there at your beck and call for whatever you may perceive that you need. Now, God's awesome otherness means partly that you and I are not to approach God casually or lightly. Remember, this is the God whose people, a few chapters earlier here in the book of Exodus, what does it say? Saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet, saw the mountain in smoke. They trembled with fear and stayed at a distance, saying to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we'll die." So being exposed to the presence of God could be life-threatening because God is holy. It's no wonder then that the priests played such a critical role in the people's approach to God in worship. Being a priest meant largely that you were dealing in holy things, holy work, holy business. Your job was to draw near to God on behalf of the people, which is part of the reason why the consecration and ordination of priests was such an elaborate and lengthy process, as we hear in our scripture passage today, a 7-day ritual that involved clothing the priests, anointing the priests, so that they could represent God's people going into the presence of God. If the priest was going to minister in God's holy presence, the priest had to be made holy too. And that's what these details are so often about. This process of making holy, if you listen to our scripture passage today, included all sorts of offerings. In our text, a lot of attention is given to animal sacrifices that purify the priests, purify the altar. But those animal sacrifices are part of a larger picture of offerings that included sin offerings, burnt offerings, elevation offerings, peace offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings. And each offering was designed to capture part of the range of human experience and interaction with God, and were tied to different kinds of emotions like suffering, forgiveness, joy, gratitude. And what's more, the ordination of priests, we need to remember, is just one episode within the larger story of the relationship between God and his people. And in this story, offerings are critical. They're crucial matter, offerings. Offerings help the people mark different seasons in their journey with God. Offerings help them recall particular places or moments in their relationship and journey with God, their history with God. Offerings help them experience reconciliation with God. Offerings help them recognize God's blessings and give praise and thanks. Offerings help them offer their lives and their resources to God. It's impossible, like we hear in our scripture passage today, for God's people to be God's people without a rich and meaningful system of offerings, giving, putting forward sacrifices. Now, in our own life together as God's people in Christ, we've got an identity and a mission that's also tied to offerings and grounded in offerings. Now, it's true, our practices are different from those of ancient Israel, and we believe that Jesus Christ, in his offering of himself on the cross, his death for us, reconciles us to God fully. Jesus is God's way of forgiving us and making us new. I like the way that one commentator put it when he said, God moves to transform us from the unholy people we are into the holy people he wants us to be. And the way he's done that is through Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we grow into and move deeper into this holiness that we have through Jesus Christ is through our offerings, the making of our offerings. That includes, but it also goes beyond, our gifts of money. It's the total picture of how we give ourselves to God in response to what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. There's a Christian leader named Gordon MacDonald. He tells about an experience that he and his wife had that reshaped his understanding of giving and making offerings. He and his wife, Gail, were on a mission trip to West Africa. And on the first Sunday of their visit, they started to gather with others there in the area who were coming together for the worship service. As they got near to the church, they noticed that basically everybody was carrying something. Some of the folks had noisy cages full of chickens. Some of them had baskets full of yams. Some of them had bags full of eggs. Some of them had bowls of cassava paste. Why are they bringing all that stuff? He asked one of the hosts. And she said, just watch. Just watch and you'll see. He says, I saw that giving, whether yams or dollars, is not optional for Christ followers. And soon after the worship began, they got to that portion of the service where folks started to file out into the aisles, singing and clapping and shouting, started to move forward toward the front of the place of worship. And one at a time, they would come to a space at the front to put their offering there, chickens, yams, eggs, cassava paste. He says this was West African offering time. How so? The chickens could be used to help someone start a small business. The yams or eggs could be sold in the market to help provide for the needy. The other gifts, the cassava paste, could be used to help feed somebody who was hungry. I was captivated, he said. I'd never seen a joyful offering before. Obviously, my keep money under the radar policy would not have worked in that church. They had moved me. I began to understand, he says, that giving, whether yams or dollars, was not an option for Christ followers. Rather, it was an indication of the direction and the tenor of one's whole life. To think of how the way that we give ourselves, especially through our offerings, in whatever form, is a sign of the direction and the tenor of your whole life and what that says about you. Now, in lots of ways, the Christian life itself is an act of giving, offering ourselves to God in response to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, the way that Paul puts it there in Romans. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we offer ourselves, all that we are, all that we have, to this God who has acted in Jesus Christ in order to rescue us from sin and death, to make us his people, and to be among us as his people with his holy, loving presence. That's why the offering plate is such an effective symbol in lots of ways of the Christian life, of Christian worship, of the kind of holiness that's supposed to flow out of faith in Jesus Christ. The worship plate reminds us of how gifts need to move from our hands into God's hands for God to do something with them. When we pass the plate, we're reminding ourselves of all kinds of things, but we're partly reminding ourselves that we're here primarily to give, not so much to get, when we gather for worship. Eugene Peterson was a pastor and a teacher, and he tells about an uncle he had, Uncle Ernie, whom he describes as a noisy unbeliever, argumentative, protesting. And yet, at the same time, Ernie was one of Eugene's favorite uncles because he was always full of jokes, laughter, stories, things like that, fun. Once a year, on Christmas, Uncle Ernie would come to church. And on one of those occasions, Eugene was sitting there with him. Eugene was about 5 or 6 years old. They passed the offering plate. He dropped in a nickel. And as the offering plates passed on by, Uncle Ernie leaned over to Eugene and whispered, "How much did you get out?" And he looked in Uncle Ernie's hand, and there was part of a $20 bill barely sticking out. Peterson says that Uncle Ernie ruined his Christmas. In fact, he was too ashamed to tell his parents, too ashamed to tell anyone. I like the way he puts it when he says, "Not only did my uncle not believe in God, he stole from the God he did not believe in. I kept hearing his words, 'How much did you get?' and seeing the edge of that $20 bill." Well, it was years before Peterson realized it was actually all a joke, and that relieved him, but it still left an impression on him. Worship as a way of giving, not being here primarily to get. As I said, Christian worship, the kind of holy living that flows from and is primarily about giving, not getting. But that's primarily because we're able to give because we've first been given to by God in Christ. The gospel that we proclaim, the gospel that we practice, has at its heart a God who at his heart of hearts and in his heart of hearts is a giver, giving. His holiness is communicated, conveyed through his giving. It's no wonder that we're so fond of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." In the Son is God's self-giving, his self-emptying, in order to take us in our unholiness and make us holy. At the cross, God offers himself for us so that we can be forgiven and made new, made holy. God giving, who in his character and action is a giver. So we're here today, like we are each Sunday and in our lives in between Sundays as well, to grow deeper into this holiness that we have through Jesus Christ the Son. We're called in response to that to live holy lives, to display the holiness of God in the world. And one of the essential ways that we do that is by moving, I think, further and more fully and more deeply into giving, the fullness of giving. In order to do that, we need each other in this congregation, I think. That's part of why, in one sense, this congregation is always in the business of offerings. We're always in the offering business in one way or another. That's why we're here again today. I'll quote Eugene Peterson once more, who says, "A sacrifice is an offering placed before the Lord so that he can make something of it. Once offered, it is in God's hand to do with it what he will. It is no longer in your hands to improve it a little more. His will is to work with offerings, not your perfections or your press clippings." And he says, "Just leave it. You have lived your day. Now leave it on the altar, an offering." What offerings have you brought with you here today? Certainly, money and financial resources, true. But way more than that as well, what things have you brought that you need to leave on the altar today before God so that he can do something with it? Perhaps you're here today and you've brought a prayer. Perhaps you've brought a word of praise or testimony. Perhaps you've brought joy. Perhaps you brought, and you just need to lay it before the Lord, frustration or sorrow or anger or whatever it is. Perhaps you've brought to offer to the Lord a strong and vibrant faith. Perhaps you've brought to the Lord a question or a doubt, something you're struggling with. Perhaps you've brought a talent or a skill to offer. Perhaps you've brought a blessing to offer. Perhaps you brought a burden that you need to lay down and offer as well. Perhaps you've brought your strength with you and your resilience. Perhaps you've just brought your sickness and your weakness to offer yourself and it to God. Perhaps you've brought your clear plans and purposes. Or perhaps you brought what feels like to you just your chaos in life. Whatever those things are today, we bring them here today. Perhaps you've brought those kinds of things. And perhaps you're here today as well, and you're not really sure what you've brought. But you're here. You brought yourself. And that's often the best and greatest gift of all. Yourself, to give your whole self to a God of holy love who has met us in Jesus Christ and wants to take your life and what you have to offer and make something of it and do something with it to display more of his holiness in the world and to others. Let's pray. Holy God, God of love, thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, most of all in the cross, to take us in our unholiness and forgive us and make us new, make us holy. We praise you and thank you. Help us to receive that gift into our lives by faith. Grow deeper into the holiness that you intend for us through Christ. We confess to you those times and ways when we're often unholy in our lives, particularly by the ways that we get selfish or turn inward rather than outward and focus more on getting rather than giving. We praise you that in your holy love you are a giver. You've given yourself to us for our redemption through Jesus Christ. So show us now, here this day, and each day, what we can offer to you and lay on your altar so that you can use it to display more of your holiness in this world to others. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.